Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Need to Know Podcast. I'm your host, Easy, and I'm joined by my co-host, Patty Friggin' B. How are you doing, Patty?
You know, Spencer, I'm doing good. We're recording late night after work, but I am ready to go, and hopefully everything is working and actually recording this time.
It is.
The double check. There it is.
You know what else, they needed to double, triple, 100-time check is our Nerf Fact of the Week. Did you know that in the original Spider-Man movie, the first Spider-Man, quote-unquote, movie from Sony, the scene where Peter grabs the stuff with the tray is not CGI.
Oh, well, fighting a major D&D player, shoot, what's that actor's name?
Oh my gosh, I actually forgot that he was doing
Flash.
Well, yeah, I actually forgot we're not fighting, right? Like, because Mary Jane is just tripping.
I guess the fight starts after that.
Yeah,
because he spills it on them. But that scene,
no, it doesn't spill anything. Like, he just catches everything. Anyway, despite the fact that that's the Flash, completely irrelevant to the Nerd Fact of the Week, that scene was actually taped over 100 takes because it was not CGI. That is, in fact, Tobey Maguire catching all of that stuff on the tray.
Well, yeah, I'd imagine it would take over 100 times. That's wild.
But isn't that sweet?
Like, digitally done. That's, I mean, it makes sense for, like, the time, right? Back in the day when that movie first came out, we've come leaps and bounds over buildings.
Was that movie like 2011? What year? No, 2011. I'm aging this by a decade. 2001 to like 2003 is my guess.
Yeah, probably 2001. Spider-Man.
2001 to 2003 is my guess on that. Tobey Maguire.
2002.
Yeah, I got it right in the middle. Let's go.
So all the promo and stuff was probably in 2001, right? And that's why I remember it.
That's so great. That is such an iconic moment too in the movie, where like it looks so clean, and it kind of like we've done like Star Wars episodes, right? And like we talked about visual effects versus CGI, and like that one is like knowing that that's just actually practical. They glued a tray to Tobey Maguire's hand and just said, "We're doing this till you catch it, man." That's like kind of cool.
Man, I have to think about like all the extras, right? Like working that scene and like the production of like having to clean up every time he spills the milk.
Well, because there's like there's like an apple and a milk, right? So like,
yeah.
So like, so much. I said over 100. I think it's actually over 140 takes, but.
Wow, that's crazy.
You know what won't take you that long to have a good time is our Discord. You can check it out in the show notes. We've been... Today was Pokemon Day. As of the time of recording, it was Pokemon Day. It was a sad day in the Heezy Game Media Discord. I think that not only myself, but others were really hoping for more from Pokemon today. Patty, do you know that it's Pokemon Day? Was that something on your radar?
Not today. I know I did last weekend. I was in Las Vegas for the Pokemon Go Hoenn Community Day.
So there was a Pokemon Go announcement today.
Okay.
There was a Pokemon Cafe Remix announcement today. There was a Pokemon Violet and Scarlet announcement, a DLC announcement. But there... After the announcement of Game Boy and Game Boy Advance on the Nintendo platform, I think a lot of people were really hopeful that even if it wasn't on that service, that we would get Blue, Red, Yellow, Gold, Silver, Crystal, Ruby, Emerald, Sapphire.
And some combination of them.
Yeah, like, even if it was just a bundle to buy, that we would get them. and it didn't happen.
Dang.
So
that's no fun.
Yeah, the Discord and the Heezy sphere was a little sad. But you know what's not sad? I mean, it's a little sad. It's our main topic. It's Spooderman.
Spooderman. Yeah, he's kind of a sad character.
He can be a little depressing. You know, I don't want this to be a downer. I'm a little sad about Pokemon Day today as of the time of recording. And then my voice is a little shot from doing 2 days of Magic coverage.
Which was a blast. Thank you for letting me do that with you.
I had so much fun with you. Why don't you talk about that really quick before we go into this?
Yeah. So this last weekend we had a 4X qualifier 2K weekend up at Oasis Games. Sent four local players to Dallas for the DreamHack Regional Championship. We're going to talk a little bit about Modern and watch some good Modern coverage over the weekend. I had work Sunday, so I didn't get to do day two with you, but I listened in to you and Matt Kling while I went out and delivered packages, and you guys killed it then too. So all in all, pretty successful weekend.
Yeah, huge shout out to Oasis for allowing Easy Game Media to do coverage. It'll be on the Constructor Crimson YouTube channel. The editor for CCMPG is already taking care of it. But it was really fun. I had a great time. And today I got to kind of, because of the editor, I actually got to sit back and watch some Spider-Man. And I want to talk about this with you, Patty. This is a character that we both really identify with. It's somebody that we both have in our hearts in a lot of ways. So I want to talk to you. Like, what is your first memory of Spider-Man?
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely super connected to this character. Love Spider-Man. My first memory, really, of Spider-Man was in, like, elementary school. At you know, they have the amazing Scholastic Book Fair, right, where all the cool stuff is. There was a collection, I think, of the Ultimate Spider-Man comics, where I think it had a few of his villains that he fought. So Doc Ock, Vulture, the Tinkerer, a few like collections of stories and comics. And that was like my first introduction to, you know, Spider-Man comics and Spider-Man, and it was awesome. I think I still have that book somewhere in my collection. But that was really my first intro and experience with Spider-Man was via the book fair where all the cool kids.
For me, my first memory of Spider-Man is a little different. You know, in my house, the exposure to like this type of character only happened through Saturday morning cartoons. And because I was so invested in like Pokemon and Digimon and different things, like Spider-Man was something that I watched when something else wasn't on. But it was the thing that I watched. What was really interesting is like, because I was like a WB kid and not a Fox kid, that it meant that I got the Marvel stuff a lot on the Fox end. You know, it actually meant that I missed episodes of like Digimon and like things like that, depending on who wanted to watch what in a family of six kids with one to two TVs at a given year. And yeah, so Spider-Man to me is like this thing that like I have a moment of relaxation before Saturday chores or after my Saturday chores. And so for me, like, both the Amazing Spider-Man, I think that the OG, I think there were two Spider-Man kid cartoons on Fox that aired back to back for a little while that were after Pokemon.
Gotcha. Those were like different animation styles. Like they showed the old show.
Yeah, like the OG like Spider-Man animated series was one of them, and I definitely saw some of those episodes. I've seen them on Disney Plus, and like, oh, I've seen this, and it was definitely through Fox Kids. But I also think that like there were years where Amazing Spider-Man was that first inspiration. I want to say though that like my love of Spider-Man came from the Tobey Maguire. Well, no, it probably came from the cartoons. I like was excited for the movies because I enjoyed the cartoons.
Gotcha. So. That makes sense. Yeah, I also really enjoyed the cartoons. You know, speaking of them, I was also, it was what you wanted to watch on Saturday mornings. I remember, kind of toggling between the two channels. Cause there was like, yeah, like you said, the Fox channel and then the WB, where they also super underrated as far as the shows. Like WB had some bangers. So Spider-Man, the animated series or The Amazing Spider-Man was must watch on Saturday mornings.
I gotta be honest, I am just wrong about this as I'm looking at it, because the thing that I watched was Spider-Man the Animated Series, which is not the first Spider-Man. The thing we're talking about actually aired in 1994, so that is the one I was watching. It was actually new content. Spider-Man Unlimited aired in 1999. It was even before The Amazing Spider-Man, which didn't come out until way, way later, way after, like, I'm just wrong. Like, Spider-Man Unlimited is what I'm thinking The Amazing Spider-Man was, but that's just not true. It was like a high-tech cyberpunk suit. Everything I'm referring to was from the 1994 series that aired in Utah. I don't know where it aired during your local broadcasting. It was after Pokemon, after some of those WB bangers, and after Digimon.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, no, it was must watch, and I actually still use episodes of that when I'm doing work in the house and just like kind of background TV. I use X-Men the Animated Series and Spider-Man the Animated Series as awesome, just, you know, background.
Well, let's talk about this for a second, because WB had access to the DC shows, right? Mm-hmm. So they had, in my opinion, a total banger in Batman Beyond. Like, actually underrated cartoon. If you haven't watched it, you should. And then X-Men Evolution, Spider-Man, like, all of those things, especially during the boom of Marvel that happened just with the X-Men and Spider-Man. Like, it meant that watching Spider-Man the Animated Series again, Spider-Man Unlimited, or even just, like, Spider-Man the New Animated Series, all of that stuff that was happening kind of in your, before your teens and, like, in my early teens, all of that was, like, Saturday morning beautiful stuff coming from Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, Batman Beyond was wrapping up. You know, stuff like that. So the cartoon is like a really interesting era of Spider-Man for me, like, because to me, like, I didn't read the comics.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't own a Spider-Man comic. Do you?
Just that book, really. Like that like little comic book collection, like, got me into Spider-Man and watching the animated series and stuff, but I really haven't picked up a comic from them since. I've read a few stuff from Arrow, you know, a lot of DC comics, Green Lantern, have some of those, but nothing.
All right, I'm gonna give you the deep cut, Patty B, because we're recording late, and I'm feeling up to it.
Okay.
I went to kid jail. Do you know this about me?
Yes.
So one of the things that happens in kid jail is they have like a little small library that they update every week. You can read stuff, different things. And it was actually my introduction. This actually happened when I think Spider-Man 3 was coming out. I actually was supposed to go on a date to see Spider-Man 3. And instead of doing that, I was in kid jail. And instead, actually got to read a bunch of Iron Spider comics.
Oh, cool.
A bunch of Ninjitsu Spider, where Gwen and Peter are ninja. I also got to read some Spider-Man versus Batman, Spawn versus Batman, Spider-Man versus Batman, like a lot of comics that I typically wouldn't have read. And it was a really vulnerable time in my life where mm-hmm. Spider-Man actually got me through it a lot. So that's another pretty big memory for me.
Yeah, definitely. I can definitely see why. And the comics are great. It's actually something I should get back to doing. It's harder to own paper comics these days. Like
there's subscriptions like though. I should do it too. Yeah. Like there are subscriptions to comics where you can get a lot of stuff. So, for me, I'll go first on this one though. A huge part of Spider-Man for me was actually the Xbox game that came alongside the first Tobey Maguire movie. That game encapsulated me, Patty. It really brought me into that Spider-Man movie. It expanded upon it. The combat was strong. It was like one of the best superhero games I had ever played.
Yeah, definitely. It was really groundbreaking. I think not just being a video game that tied up with a movie, right? That really you hadn't really seen that before, but also just being on the Xbox, and at the time the graphics were just the coolest new thing, for sure. For me, I also do remember not just the that game specifically on the Xbox, but also playing things like Marvel versus Capcom, or I think there's another Marvel fighting game that I got when I was younger as well. And you always wanted to be Spider-Man. He was like always the coolest character, doing his flips and stuff and had the sweetest moves.
Yeah, Spider-Man, I don't think either of us own the console that would be required to play like the most popular Spider-Man game of all time. But it is on Steam. It's actually something that Maxwell and I today talked about purchasing and playing, and I was like, yeah, I'll totally play this game with you. Like, we can sit down, we can learn how to web sling together, because it looks that good. And I've watched footage of it. Like, it was so hard not to be a part of that Spider-Man game, even when you didn't own the console that it was on.
Yeah. That, and I think one thing that's kind of carry through, right, with a lot of these Spider-Man games, is the story is always just fantastic. And so I've watched, even though I haven't played Spider-Man for PS4 or for Miles Morales. Yeah. I've watched people stream those games throughout, like, just because the story is awesome. And that's been the case for Spider-Man games throughout its existence.
Yeah, to me, like, I also had the same experience with, like, Marvel versus Capcom. But, man, it wasn't until we were writing the show notes for this show that I realized, like, how much time I spent. And I was actually in a video game store between the time that we lost the episode that we were already recorded. That, like, we've done this episode. I think we said that on Twitter. We haven't said on the episode yet. This is our second time recording this episode. I saw Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man 2 on OG Xbox when I was taking my OG Xbox in for repair.
Mm.
And I was like, oh man, I should buy these. Like, I should buy these. Like, this is like, this Tobey Maguire era of Spider-Man is like so good and so fun. So,
100%.
Let's talk about the films. We've already kind of mentioned them a little bit, but where do you kind of sit on your favorite films, your collection of films? What do the films mean to you when it comes to nerding out about Spider-Man?
Yeah, so for me, with the films, I think when I started to get out of high school, was when The Amazing Spider-Man and Andrew Garfield's movies came out. And that, those movies, I think, just have a special place just for, you know, my age. And I personally think he's just the best at being Spider-Man, right? You could say that, Tobey Maguire may be like the best Peter Parker. I think that, yeah, that Andrew Garfield is the best Spider-Man. And, you know, Tom Holland is just a fantastic mix of the two. But for me, that's...
I'm just going to jump on this really quick. I'm going to pitch it back to you. But I want to just say that, like, I've been an amazing Spider-Man defender of those films the whole time. And we've actually had Corey from Nerd on this podcast to talk about Star Wars, the Old Republic, Knights of the Old Republic. He is in the same boat with me. Like, we both, like, defended Andrew Garfield through visceral hate. Because people hated him as Peter Parker. But he was the best Spider-Man. Like, this cocky, butthead jerk that was, like, learning his powers, but, like, knew that he was all that, still pulling his punches. Like, he was an encapsulation of Spider-Man and just not a good Peter Parker. And it's okay that he wasn't a great Peter Parker, because every adaptation of every character ever can be different. He was his version of Peter Parker. And I love Andrew Garfield's Amazing Spider-Man so much. And the fact that, like, there's this huge rising of people that want the third one to now be made all these years later is so funny to me, because, like, just the attack on number two was so strong. I love it. I love both of them. I love... The suit is so cool. It's so cool. The shoes that he's stitched in. So, go ahead.
Yeah, no. It is one of the coolest. He's so fun. He made, like, he had so much fun playing Spider-Man. And he's just, Andrew Garfield is a fantastic actor. I love so many things that he's in and that he does, particularly. Sony could do it, right? If we're being completely honest here, if everything wanted to work out, it could. I think he's willing to
He would do it, but it would have to be, we're going to dive into this. We did not do this on the previous recording, but I'm willing to talk about it. It would have to be the Seven movie, right? Like, it would be Andrew Garfield versus the Seven. I think that he would need it to be after. Okay, we're going to go real deep.
It kind of has to be after No Way Home.
Yeah, new character. At least yeah. Toby has to be there too, right? Like,
no.
You think, okay, so hold on. Let's actually start. Let's think about this. If you're going to fight the Seven, right? Which is what this last movie had. I mean, it's what it was setting up. I'll just say what I'm thinking. It feels like if you're going to do the Amazing Spider-Man 3, you're going to do it, and it's going to be the sequel to No Way Home, quote unquote, where the verse happens again. Because the Seven is in multiple verses at this point. And the symbiote is also in multiple verses at this point. So, like,
it's tricky because I think after No Way Home, I do agree it has to be after No Way Home. I don't necessarily agree that it has to be spread across the multiverses. I think it can be now with his new resolve.
What is Michael Keaton in this movie? That's my question.
No.
I disagree. I just don't think you can I don't think you can do the setup that you've done across the Spider-Man movies through Sony and not have all of them in it.
You could do... Now, maybe it's not for the, you know, multiverse fighting the Seven. Maybe it's just you use what you have with Tom Hardy's Venom, and you have just a just kick-ass, you know, Spider-Man versus Ultimate, or, you know, an amazing Spider-Man Andrew Garfield facing off against maybe multiverse Venom.
Well, I mean, to be fair, we don't know where Michael Keaton and all of the Seven, they could all have all ended up in,
right,
in Andrew's universe. I'm just saying, like,
I think they're going to be closing one thing. One way I think that it's not going to happen that way, if it happens, is it sucks because there's I have now seen this last weekend. I went and watched Ant-Man Quantumania, and I think they may bring, if they're going to bring someone back, it might be through Kang. They've talked about bringing in people. It's like with the Kang Multiverse War, fighting like legacy heroes. So that's not spoilers for the movie. That's some things that they've talked about, like as far as future plans. And so that might be where we see him if he was like wanting to come back and play the Amazing Spider-Man again. That might be where we might actually see him. And have a, like a, maybe a death, right? Like a Valiant thing. I don't know.
I like that we went this deep into, like, the possibilities of Amazing Spider-Man 3. Because I think it's clear that we both want that trilogy finished.
Yeah.
Right? Like.
But if we're being real, that's never gonna happen.
No, I think it could. I actually think that the support is there, like, and where does No Way Home rank on like most watched, streamed, overall budget? Like, it is the most successful Sony film of all time, like just hands down.
Yeah, you could do. Like, you could do a version of that, right? With maybe some characters, like, so you do, so, you have on. The lizard.
I have a, can I stop you really quick?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're getting Spider-Verse 2 from Sony. Mm-hmm. What if Amazing Spider-Man 3 they converge. Spider-Verse 3 and Amazing Spider-Man 3 is the same movie. Where Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man is the main character alongside Miles in the third version of both of them. Then you can have whoever you want,
would it
right?
Would it be like a... Sure. Oh, you're not saying this one that's coming up, the Across the
Spider-Verse. No. It has to be after. You have to wait, yeah. And then after that, like at the end of Across the Spider-Verse, Andrew comes in as like, you know what? I messed up. Gwen is dead. Let's fix everything.
Maybe. That it's fun to theorize.
Alright. We only talked about one of the three trilogies, because one of them is incomplete, of the Spoodermans. Is there anything else you want to say about films though?
We'll talk a little bit more about the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man and our, you know, my favorite piece of content, and I'm just really excited to see that it had been kind of contentious, right, with more Marvel wanting to have Spider-Man in our, you know, MCU, and kind of the clashing with Sony. That was part of the problem for years, and I think maybe one of the reasons why Amazing Spider-Man 3 didn't get, you know, remade is they were, or get made, is they were moving on to do MCU type things, because they were very separate before. And so I'm just really excited to see what Tom Holland does, you know, moving forward with the new deal.
With his new trilogy? He's getting a second trilogy.
Yeah.
It's never
happened before.
You know what? It is cool that... Because, listen, Tom Holland is older than his character was portrayed, right? But, like, he did a really good job of playing a young character. And this is what I wanted to talk about, is, like, that trilogy is really good. there is probably not a man over the age of 30 that didn't cry seeing Toby, Tom, and Andrew shoot webs at each other, swing off each other into that formation. Like, I'm tearing up crying right now thinking about it. Like, it was beautiful. It was an encapsulation. I am crying, actually. It was an encapsulation of, like, years of things that I loved. It is really similar in a lot of ways to why we loved the Infinity Saga so much. Right? We did a podcast not that long about the Infinity Saga. Like, I have fallen in love with multiple Spider-Mans, with multiple Bens, with multiple Aunt Mays, and, you know, it's funny because, like, people will be like, oh, you know, it's the same trope again and again. It's like, you know what, though? It is a different story this time, and it is a unique take on that story, and that is the thing that I love about this, and one of the things that I love is that outside of Spider-Man 3, which was hated until recently, we haven't seen Peter past this point a lot. And we're going to get three whole movies of this.
Peter with his own, like, kind of going back to, like, where Toby was, right? Like,
at the end of Spider-Man 2, right?
Exactly. Having his own suit, like, not having any Stark tech. Right, like he sewed his own suit after No Way Home, and you kind of like see him leap out a window. Like, he gets, he's kind of, yeah, where he's at the end of Spider-Man 2.
You know what? It's so funny because, like, that Spider-Man suit at the end is like such a kiss to, like, Toby's suit and Andrew's suit. You're like, oh, this is so beautiful.
Yep.
Anything else you want to say on the films before we move on to favorites? I'm going to go first then. Yep. So because it took so long to record this podcast, I have watched, I'm just going to list everything I've watched. Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 3, Into the Spider-Verse, Amazing Spider-Man 1. I couldn't watch Amazing Spider-Man 2. Was it on any streaming platform?
Mm-hmm.
And then watched some of the kids' cartoon. And then watched some just like random episodes of different cartoons. I have very clear opinions at this point. This podcast, we had a four-man show at one point when the show originated. It was myself, Michael Merrill, who was recently on the show, Mason Clark, who was recently on the show, and West, who was obviously my co-host for the longest time. We actually did an episode when Into the Spider-Verse came out. And I watched it again today. And I have been so wrong about this movie so many times because I keep dropping it in like my superhero movie rankings for no reason at all other than like nostalgia. But like, nostalgia aside, Into the Spider-Verse is one of the best movies ever made. Not just best superhero movies. And one of the things that I did a TikTok about for this episode was talking about like how Spider-Man 2 falls into the Star Wars trap of like you love it because it's great. It is a good movie. It's actually a bridge movie, which also gets a lot of hype. And then also it has this like unique quality about it where bridge movies have the ability to both be build on the previous content, set up for next content, but also be their own unique story individualized. And so thus it is a fantastic piece of content, but it is cheesy as F. And if it stood up in Oh man, your face. If the audio listeners could see this. If it stood up against any other Spider-Man movie, including Spider-Man 3 in the same franchise, it is just as cheesy. It is just as gross. It is just as, like, awkward. And I'm saying that saying it's great. I'm so sick of people building up their favorite thing and just discounting every flaw with it to make it the best thing ever instead of recognizing it has the same flaws of everything you hate about the next movie that you all trashed that was the worst movie ever. Like, it's the same thing. They're just as cheesy. It has the same awkwardness. That being said, my favorite piece of Spider-Man content is Spider-Man 3 from the Tobey Maguire series and Into the Spider-Verse, which would be my top, and Homecoming. Into the Spider-Verse, I don't even think deserves to be in this conversation. I think it is a masterpiece of cinematic history in its own right outside of the Spider-Verse. I think it is actually one of the best films ever made. So, what about you?
Well, the way that you feel about, and I don't disagree with you as far as Into the Spider-Verse being a masterpiece. You know what else is a masterpiece is Spider-Man 2, right? So it starts off, let me just start here with Danny Elfman's score, right? Danny Elfman's score is so good for Spider-Man 2. You can watch this movie without, or you can not like visually watch the movie. You can listen to the score and it'll tell you what's, you know, you'll be able to identify what's going on. It is that good. This movie, I think Spider-Man is more relatable in this movie, I think, than at any other point. In this movie, he is figuring out what he wants to in his life, right? He's trying to deal with the consequences of, you know, fulfilling his responsibility to Uncle Ben as Spider-Man, but everything else in his life is falling apart, right? That's when he loses his powers, right? I think that Spider-Man 2 has one of the best villains that he's ever had.
Solid agree. Hold on. I actually think the villain carries this film. Like, right. In a lot of ways. I don't think anybody's about to disagree that, like, this Doc Ock... this Doc Ock is better than the Doc Ock from the film that I just talked about, right? Like, that's not contestable. I agree with you.
It's not just that it's Dr. Octopus. It's that Dr. Octopus and Otto Octavius is who Peter Parker wants to be, right? So he has the love of his life, right? He you know, is able to chase his dreams and do what he wants, and Peter's, you know, searching for that. And I feel like in this movie, like before, Peter hadn't really been Spider-Man for himself, right? It was with great power comes great responsibility, and it was that responsibility that was carrying him forward. But then he kind of loses that in this movie, and he has to find himself. And I think that's just super relatable. There's also, like, in the Tobey Maguire movies, there's a strong focus on the superhero actually saving people, right? So the train scene where he's fighting Doc Ock, a lot of times superheroes in superhero movies made nowadays, it's more just kind of coincidental, right? Like, oh, he's fighting the bad guy, but like, oh, he also happens to save some people. No, the focus is on him saving people and how the people react to him. And
I have to ask this. One, I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
But this sucks because it feels like I'm attacking a movie I love. And I don't want to do that because I agree with you. Mm-hmm. Did you watch Spider-Man 2 before this episode?
Yes, but not for tonight's recording. I watched it before we recorded the first time.
That scene is so awkward.
Why?
There's a few reasons. Like, one, Doc doesn't have to leave. There's no reason for Doc to leave. There's actually a problem. I watched this with my wife. Devin and I had the same reactions to me of like, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? And listen, I hate that argument against movies. So I want to be clear. I think Spider-Man 2 is a work of art. I am defending my theory that it has the Star Wars problem. That is the only thing I want to say here. Is that if you judge it at the same lens that everyone judged the Star Wars sequels, it's a terrible movie. It's the worst movie ever made. I don't think that. I think it's fantastic. I think it's one of the best movies ever made. I think that scene is terrible if you judge it under that lens. And I think that it's awkward as F.
Whatever. Pizza time. Dude, pizza time, buddy.
No, you're not. I hope it's clear that I'm not disagreeing with you. Like, that scene is beautiful. It made me cry watching it when I watched it for this episode.
Yeah.
It's just like the four webs, right? Like, pulling him, like, how is he getting more webs out in more places when he's already, like that doesn't make sense. Like, the math doesn't make sense. Like, people were worried about bombs dropping in space in Force Awakens.
I think you're taking the Star Wars problem, you're applying it here, and it's like...
No, but this is my point. This is my problem with film review. This is my whole point. I'm just going to put it here. I think Spider-Man 2 is a perfect movie. If you let yourself be captured by it and you go into it without this type of bull crap evaluation.
Gotcha. Because it sounded like we were overanalyzing, right?
Yes.
So like web
yes.
things.
Yes.
It's just overanalyzation.
Like, oh my gosh. Aunt May hitting freaking Dr. Ock with an umbrella. Yes. That it is like that. That's not.
Aunt May is also just a fantastic part of this movie.
She's so good.
She shines in this one.
She's good in the whole trilogy for what it's worth.
Yeah.
But no, like the whole thing is like, this is why when people are like, I don't like X or Y Star Wars movie, I'm like, shut up. Like, what didn't you like? And they're like, the bombs fell. Magnets? I don't know. Like, why do you need a reason for that to work? Why? So here's the thing. I don't need a reason for Spider-Man's webs to work here. Mm-hmm. It was sick. Yep. It was meaningful. It was great. It's not as good as anything that happened in Into the Spider-Verse, though, Patty.
You're welcome. You're welcome to believe that. And I just love that, and this is my favorite piece of Spider-Man content, because this is when Peter makes the choice to be Spider-Man, and
I actually think that's a really good reason.
And it's really powerful, and I love it.
Well, it goes into the Tom Holland movies, right, where he talks about his web block. Is that's the movie where he's like, I did have a web block.
Everything was falling apart in my life.
Yeah, it is that moment, and this is why I wanted to highlight why like that whole thing is stupid. Like saying everything, this overanalyzation is stupid, because this is an important moment in the film, not just in this film, in the trilogy. It affects another movie. Like, shut up. Enjoy the moment, because it's really important. I'm going to cry.
I think that's something that we've, like, with the internet, right, and doing what we do, we can kind of, like, just not be in the moment, right? We overanalyze everything, right, just as part of culture and the internet. And I think that's also something beautiful about that movie is it was pretty early in that time, and we didn't really do that.
We got to escape, right? This is the whole thing about. I'm gonna say this now, and then I want to move on, but yeah. Like, we got to escape in Spider-Man 2, and by Spider-Man 3, it was over. Facebook had taken off. Twitter wasn't out yet. Like, MySpace was, like, almost dead at that point. But, yep. like, it was over. Like, the internet had changed in that small segment. And I'm not going to sit here and say that, like, Spider-Man 3 didn't have its problems. It had too many villains. No one is not going to pretend like Spider-Man 3 didn't have too many villains.
Yeah.
But it was still good. Do you have a favorite franchise moment? We might have already talked about it.
We kind of did. I think the coming together of the three Spider-Men in No Way Home was really beautiful. And I specifically pointed out the kind of like them talking about their shared experiences, or their different experiences of being Spider-Man, essentially recreating the Spider-Man pointing meme. Just like, wait, you're.
Yeah, I have. So that's the scene where they land, which is so funny because, like, they hid it from us so well. Even though Tom tried to spoil it, like,
he did on accident.
Yeah, like, I think that everyone knew it was going to happen. But still, Lo is like, is it though? Like, I actually have, I'm just going to say this. Like, there was, one of my favorite Spider-Man moments was watching the first trailer for that movie. And seeing the Green Goblin bomb. And knowing, because I've watched Spider-Man 1 so many times.
Hearing that
it
laugh.
Was the same bomb, the same laugh. I was like, that's him. Like, that's Willem. Like, that's who that is. There's not even a question in my, like, they didn't show his face. They didn't, like, it was haha bomb. That was it. And I was like, no, that's him. Like, no question. Then they showed an arm for Doc Ock in that same trailer. They didn't even have him say a line. He wasn't even in until the second trailer. And I still knew he was in the movie. Sandman being in there was wild to me. Like, because you would think they would ignore the movie that, like, was hated. Honestly, like, that whole movie is one of my favorite pieces of franchise history. Like, it is... I have loved every one of these Star Wars, Spider-Man movies. You just autofill. It's the same thing. But it's really sucked to, like, try to defend these movies against what I just did, right? Like, I just did it to you, and I was trying to show how bad it feels, right? I don't hate Spider-Man 2. I think it's a great film. I think it's one of the best films ever made, actually. But it really sucks that, like, people attack all of these films these ways. I think they're all great. And I'm really glad we got No Way Home. Yep. I have a problem with No Way Home that I want to talk about before we move on. I really hate the Willem Dafoe stab scene.
Just like, okay.
I don't think it's within Tom Holland's character. And I get that it's not for his character. It's for Toby's character. But I hated it.
I gotcha. I can see why you hate it.
Yeah, it didn't make sense. It was like out of character for one of them, in character for the other, for what it's worth. He's saving the guy he let die. Are there any could be betters for you in the franchise?
Yeah, and it's actually out of my favorite. So in the Amazing Spider-Man series, like, I really wish that Rhino had been, like, a touch better. It was really hard to, like, buy in that
is Reno more than like 5 seconds.
He's in the beginning and the end. Because it's in two. It's in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I don't even remember this.
He's who he fights in the beginning.
No, the end.
And then at the end is where he breaks out again.
No, it's the other way. He fights Reno at the end of one. Am I wrong?
Am I crazy?
Patty B, do I not know this movie as well as I think
feel
they
like
do?
I thought he saves the kid during the opening of two as well. Right? Rhino's like introduced.
Hold on.
Like at the very end of one.
Rhino is the villain at the end of one. Like literally.
Yeah.
Literally the literal last seconds of the film is Rhino versus Spider-Man. Is that true?
Gotcha. And I feel like they pick up at the beginning of two with that. Maybe I'm wrong. Like, I feel like that's what like disrupts the graduation.
I
might have to rewatch two. It's tricky because it's hard
what,
to find
what is
it.
Your problem though? I want to understand.
It's just like I couldn't. It was harder for me to suspend my belief that Paul Giamatti Rhino was this real big menace, right? Or that he was something that actually warranted attention. Like it was tougher for me to suspend my belief on that. And I think,
you know, this is like, I think this is a problem in the Spider-Verse where like, depending on the medium, depending on the moment, you have to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked about why Into the Spider-Verse is my favorite movie. I it's not just my favorite Spider-Man movie. I think it's the best superhero movie ever. And funnily enough, Civil War is my second favorite superhero movie. Both of them involve Spider-Man. But there is an amount that you have to just say, I'm letting myself go. I am accepting that my beliefs, my understanding of reality is not the same reality that's happening now.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think that Amazing Spider-Man 1 does that, which is maybe why you have that feeling.
Yeah, maybe. One thing I am like kind of excited about moving forward. I did see some things online about with Aaron Tyler Johnson, who played Quicksilver, is playing Kraven the Hunter.
In what? There's no way that's actually.
It's. He released a video of him like working out and like training for it.
For what? What is the movie?
I think it's part of the next Tom Holland Spider-Man.
Oh, the Tom Holland movies.
Yes.
So this is actually
that's going to be separate from.
We should talk about this really quick before we wrap up. We both talked about our favorite franchise moments.
Mm-hmm.
We have specific Spider-Verse things that need to be talked about. We have the actual Spider-Verse, the Miles Morales thing. That's happening. That's a thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
We have the Tom Hardy Spider-Verse. Right? Like, yep. Tom Hardy's not done.
No, he's not. I'm excited for his stuff as well.
We have.
Oh, it's a Kraven solo film. I'm sorry. It's not a Spider-Man movie. It's a Kraven the Hunter.
Now you're messing me up. That's fine. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I had to look it up.
Tell the listeners.
Let's see. Sorry, I knew it was something that he was.
It's a Sony film though.
It's a Sony film. Yeah, it's set to release next year, next January.
What's really interesting, I'll say about this before we wrap up, is that the Tom Hardy stuff is in the MCU now. So Sony has given Marvel permission to use this, but they also get to use it too.
Yeah. I think that's the beauty of the sharing agreement. Kind of, I alluded to that earlier.
Yeah.
Right? Is that they used to be contentious and like, we have to be separate and you can't use this and that. And they're working together to make our experience just a lot better.
Yeah. I personally actually haven't watched the Venom film. I'm going to watch it. Listen, man, you get to look at me like this every time.
I know.
Every time you do, I
know you've got kids, and so it's harder to watch movies, but I feel like that one's, it's so good.
They're all good, man. I'm going to say this, like, I watch things for the podcast. Yeah. I didn't watch Tom Hardy's Venom for the podcast. My voice is also gone, so we got to wrap this up. But like,
yes, we do.
I didn't watch Venom's Tom Hardy stuff because like, I thought Brock Parker or Brock, what is his name? Brock.
I forget the Topher Grace is the actor who played.
I know.
Eddie Brock.
Thank you. I thought Topher Brock, and that's just not true. Eddie Brock. Eddie Brock's Venom. I actually, one of the problems I have with Spider-Man is like, people just hate on this. And it's like, they're like, oh, like, you have too much stuff happening in Spider-Man 3. But it's like, how else would you introduce Venom other than Venom and Venom? Like, I don't know. It's one of my favorite pieces of Spider-Man content. One more moment I want to mention. We're both Magic the Gathering players. So I will just pitch this to you. What do you think one of my favorite moments is? You don't have to have it if you want to let this happen.
I don't know what
Who is a rapper that loves?
Oh, Post Malone.
Yeah, you got there.
What about Post?
He was like the whole album.
For Into the Spider-Verse. Yes. Gotcha. Sunflower is a banger, and yeah,
dude,
a lot of that stuff is like great workout music.
I actually think that like, the whole Into the Spider-Verse album is unreal. Like, even when Post Malone is gone, like, when, man, I actually had this written down earlier, but, like, you have Miles dropping after he changes his hoodie. He does all these things, like...
What's up, Danger?
What's up, Danger? Thank you. You actually have saved me there.
Yep.
What's Up, Danger is like, there's not a moment in Spider-Man like that. There's not. It is the best moment in Spider-Man. Not just because of the song, but because of the song with the visuals. It's unbelievable.
I forgot about that. And I actually had that as my like phone screen wallpaper of Miles just like
floating down. It's unreal.
A long time.
It's unreal. Like, it is. It if we're talking about the best Spider-Man moments, we would be wrong not to include it.
Sure.
Here's the thing. Everybody wants this thing. I'm going to ask you the question. It's not in the show notes. Cast Miles Morales tomorrow. Go.
I don't know as many. I'd want to.
Oh, man. You're struggling to come up with black actors.
I'm trying to think of, yeah.
Just it's fine. We both have the same one. We want the same one. They're an adult. Just say the one you want as an adult. We want the same one. It's okay.
Go ahead and say yours, because I don't know.
Danny Glover is an adult. I want Danny Glover to play Miles Morales as an adult.
As an adult. There are some great actors.
You want the kid that plays Kenny on Cobra Kai, which, by the way, is one of our future episodes where you continue to cover Cobra Kai. You want Kenny, the kid.
Yeah, if we're not doing an adult version of Miles Morales, which you said would be...
No, I think...
You'd want Donald Glover.
I think what's so funny is that he's already talked about it. He's like, I would do it, but like, I'm not like 15 anymore.
Exactly.
And like, yeah, we know. No, I don't hate this pick. Is there more Cobra Kai that I haven't watched with this kid?
It's very possible. There's he really comes into his own in this last season with Terry Silver, after kind of taking control, and he has to like make those choices. So first off, the writing on that show is fantastic, and but I also think that Dallas does a fantastic job, and I think it'd be a great choice for a Miles Morales if I was kind of fan casting someone who's actually.
That was what I was going to say, is he actually looks young enough.
Right.
To be a young Miles. I'm going to say this. It's really hard for me to do this type of stuff. My kids are mixed. They are at least a quarter black, and they do not look it. Like, my kids all take after me. And when you are in the world of mixed race, that's called passing. And it's not appropriate. We've lost family members and friends because my kids look this way. They're like, you will never have to deal with what we deal with. So, F you. It's like, okay, well, we had to lose you, so like, that's a problem. And Miles Morales is Maxwell, my very Spencer son. Like,
favorite Spider-Man.
He is Spencer, right? Like, why don't you talk about it for a second, Patty?
Gotcha, yeah. So, it was really cool. You sent me some images earlier today about what we used for the thumbnail for this episode. They're all pictures of Maxwell watching Into the Spider-Verse. And I can definitely see how, right, Maxwell is definitely your kid.
he's black, but he's not black.
Yeah. And I can definitely also understand why Miles Morales is his favorite Spider-Man.
You know, it meant a lot that... Sorry, I'm totally crying now, and I'm not going to pretend that I'm not. Maxwell cared a lot about his hair with Miles' hair. He cared a lot about, like, his clothes with Miles' clothes. And he's watched a lot of the Miles TV show with, the Fall Out Boy singer doing that. And we didn't even talk about that yet, but like, it's a huge plus for me.
I mean, that's pretty wild, right? That we've talked about all this awesome Spider-Man content. I think we got to this point as well at the end of the last episode. Or that when we tried to record this before, where like there was so much that we left out because there's so much awesome Spider-Man content, and yeah, it's a shame we can't talk about everything, but that'd also be impossible, I think.
Well, for what it's worth, Spidey and his amazing friend is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It's one of Maxwell's favorite shows. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm crying so hard. But like, this what's so funny is like, I learned about the show Spidey and His Amazing Friends, which is Peter Parker, Gwen Stacy, Miles Morales, just doing Spidey stuff for children, because the lead singer of Fall Out Boy just like did it. Like, he was like, are you for real? I'm like, yeah, obviously I'll do it.
Gotcha. Fellow Patrick.
Yeah, I'm a huge Patty fan. Do you want to talk about this really quick? Because, like...
Sure. Go ahead.
No, go... No, I asked you. Do you want to talk about this? Because I'm gonna talk about it.
I'm not as familiar with his work in Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Oh, it's just the opening song. So, like,
Patrick... Oh, gotcha. Oh, okay.
Patrick Stump, got a phone call and was like, hey, we're doing a TV show. Do you want to do the opening song? And he was like, my kid loves Spider-Man. Yes.
Like, of course, 100%.
And also, like, if you could pick a pop punk band to do Spider-Man, which also is the most Spider-Man thing, is to pick a pop punk artist.
Yeah,
Patrick sure. Stump might be the person to do it.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, it's either him or Brandon, right? Like, it's right. One of those two. And I think they picked the right guy.
100%. That's cool. I'll have to listen to at least find the theme song. It's kind of like the What's New Scooby-Doo. Right,
pop punk. Oh, it's not that good. I think you're putting.
Am I setting like a really high bar?
Yeah, gotcha. What's New Scooby-Doo is like actually really good.
But no, maybe like these pop punk bands, like it's like.
What can I actually ask a question though? Why do you think that resonates with this type of film?
I don't know if it's maybe just like. Pairing with the audience demographic, right? Like, a lot of that music was popular, you know, in when we were like watching Spider-Man as a kid, right? And so maybe that's like having Patrick Stump do the song for Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends wasn't for necessarily the kids, but also it's for the kids because
it was literally for his kids.
Yeah,
he has made it clear it was for his kids.
But it could also be for the old
but no,
people like us.
I do, listening to it, it feels like a Fall Out Boy song.
That's awesome.
Like, I am more willing to watch that show with Maxwell because that song exists.
Gotcha. Okay.
Cool. Patty's Poll. What is it?
Cool. Yeah. So once I get this video edited, I'll be doing a Twitter poll and a TikTok aligned with that. Going over Patty's poll here. So who is your favorite Spider-Man? Is it Tobey Maguire in the first trilogy, Tom Holland in the new trilogy, Spider-Man the animated series, or other? For me, that's going to be other, because I think that Andrew Garfield is my favorite Spider-Man.
I think you gotta fix this. Let's change the poll.
Okay.
It has to be the three or animated. Yeah, it has to be
other animated.
Yeah.
Got it. Oh, okay.
Cause none of them played an animated Spider-Man. But, like, you and I would both vote Andrew?
Yeah, probably.
Which is weird, because, like, neither of us said that was our favorite Spider-Man film. But, like, he's our favorite Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I love him.
That's great.
He's a cutie. People want to find you. Where can they do that? Patty B!
You can find me on Twitter, at PattyBMTG. I retweet nerd stuff every now and again, and talk a lot about magic there. So that's where you can find me. We can talk more about Spider-Man.
Patty is underselling himself. If you want to understand standard in Magic the Gathering, he probably cares a lot about that. And if you want to build a collection in Explorer or Pioneer, he cares a lot about that. So hit him up there.
Spencer, where can they find you?
You can find me at CCMTG if you want to listen to, like, content about getting better at Magic, as well as Mythicast, where it's a monthly podcast about trying to be ready for battle, as well as Smash Through on the Smash Through podcast with Matt Kling to try and be better at Smash with a bunch of noobs. All of these are podcasts in my attempt to try to just help people be better at level zero on their next available spot. I just want to give a shout out to Patty B really quick. I really appreciate you doing the coverage with me. I know my voice sounds bad, really, really bad right now. But that's from doing 3 days of coverage plus this podcast. I have 2 more days of podcasts to do after this. But I just appreciate you. I think that you're great. And I think that you did your best at your role that you could do even when you weren't comfortable. And I just really appreciate you.
Thank you. Yeah, I try my best with whatever I do. So that's where you can find us. Make sure you like and sub. Right? And then subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and leave us a review. Right? People can now leave reviews on Spotify.
Dude, Spotify is like the coolest thing in the world that they can now do, because you and I already actually had great iTunes. Man, I sound like a monster. You and I already had great iTunes reviews.
Yeah.
But these Spotify reviews mean a lot to us. So if you're liking what we're doing now about Spider-Man, and then you want to hear us talk about Brothers War, which actually the next like 3 Magic sets, I think would be really interesting for this podcast, where it wouldn't be interesting for CC. Would be really cool. So leave a review. Smash that button. If you're gonna like it, subscribe. And we'll see y'all next week with another episode of the Need to Nerd podcast.